We would like to take a moment to thank our sponsor, Preborn. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, it's a divine connection. And the majority of the time, she will choose life. But they can't do it without our help. Preborn needs us, the pro-life community, to come alongside them. One ultrasound is just $28. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby, or visit preborn.com/AFR.
We inform.
Religious freedom is about people of faith being able to live out their faith, live out their convictions, no matter where they are.
We equip.
Sacred honor is the courage to speak truth, to live out your free speech.
We also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio.
Welcome to At the Core with Walker Wobbin and Rick Green. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. Thanks for joining me today. We got a lot to cover and some good news to share. We had shared the interview with you last week with one of our State Board of Education members in Texas. And I know we got listeners in all 50 states and people around the world actually listen. And so sometimes I talk about Texas too much, some people think. But on this particular topic, it impacts everyone. What we do in Texas with regard to the textbooks absolutely affects other states, and frankly, the nations. And, you know, we do this about every 10, 12, 14 years. It varies depending on the procedures that are taking place, where essentially you go in and you review the textbook standards. You have the textbook companies update. They have to, modify the textbooks based on whatever the standards are that the State Board of Education adopts. And when I say standards, what I mean is, if you're going to give a diploma to someone from a public school in Texas, the state funds that, so the state gets to set the goal. What does that mean? If you graduate with a diploma, what have you actually learned? What is the reading, writing, and arithmetic that you've learned? And so these standards are incredibly important. Just step back for a second and think about a nation reflects the education that has been taught in the classroom in the previous generation. There was a quote often attributed to Lincoln. I can't find it in an original source, but everybody says it was Lincoln, where he said the philosophy of the schoolroom in one generation will be the philosophy of government in the next. So what you teach in the classroom today, you're going to see that in your government tomorrow. The reason America has slouched towards Gomorrah, as Robert Bork said 40 years ago, the reason that you have a massive slide towards socialism, and these incredibly bad Marxist policies, all these things that have happened in the last 20, 30 years, is because the left took over education. They put that stuff in the textbook. They put it in the classroom. Little by little by little, they shifted a generation and then the next generation towards those values. So whatever you teach in the classroom in one generation, you're going to see it in your culture, in your government, in your entertainment, everything in the next generation. So that's why we pay attention to these things. And let me say this right up front. I know there's some of you that listen there's a lot of you that listen that are homeschooling, you're private schooling. I applaud you. I think you should. I was homeschooled. We homeschooled all four of our kids. Our grandkids are being homeschooled. We are big advocates for homeschooling and that being absolutely the best option. I think private school is the second best option. I think public schools is a terrible option. But a lot of people either think that they're trapped or they actually are. I think most people could find a way out of the public schools if they were willing to sacrifice enough in other areas, but not everybody. There's some people that are literally stuck, like they have no other option. And regardless of their reasons, regardless of why people still send their kids to public schools, that's still 70 to 80% of the kids. And so what that kid's learning in that public school, they're going to take that into the marketplace, into the culture, into government. And if that's 70 to 80% of the kids, then they outvote us, they outpopulate us, they outgovern us. And so we have to pay attention to what's going on in the public schools, even if you're a homeschooler or a private schooler. It's still vitally important for you to influence what's going on there. David Barton, my mentor and colleague, he homeschooled his kids, but he has been involved in these State Board of Education fights in Texas for decades. I think the first one he told me that he really was engaged in the fight was 90 96, 98, I can't remember. Anyway, definitely a long time ago. But, you know, homeschooled his kids. I mean, I spoke at Tim Barton's homeschool graduation 20 years ago or whenever that was. So these are people that are personally homeschooling, but absolutely have the right and the responsibility to influence what's going on in the public school. Think about it this way. If you're a public school parent and our teacher out there, and you're thinking, well, that's not right. You guys aren't going to the public school. You shouldn't get to influence the standards in public school. Wait a minute. Who's paying the bill? Who pays the taxes for that school to be funded? Whether my kids go to that school or not, if I'm paying the taxes, I absolutely have a voice in that. And frankly, I used to tell people all the time, look, man, I saved the public schools hundreds of thousands of dollars by homeschooling my kids. I mean, think about it. The public schools spend about $15,000 a year per kid. That's, you know, roughly average across the country. I got four kids that went all the way through K through 12 homeschooling without being a single, costing the local public school a penny, not a penny. So I saved them, what is that, $60,000 a year for 12 years, $720,000. I think I need a refund. I think the local public school where we raised our kids in Dripping Springs, Texas, needs to cut me a check, baby. All right, but you get my point. So not only do we pay the taxes, so we're also paying about $10,000 a year in property taxes that mostly goes to the local school. So that's another, well, we were there for 30 years. So that's $300,000 we put into that local public school of our cash, our hard-earned dollars. So you're talking a million. I got $1 million on the line here. For just that one local school district, between what I paid in cash and what I saved them by educating those kids myself. Okay, let's be honest. It was my wife. We all know mama does all the hard work. Dad's like the goalie. You know, we just keep them in check. Anyway, my point is, you absolutely, if you're listening to me right now and you're a homeschooler, you absolutely have the right to influence what's going on in your local public school, influence the textbooks, go run for the school board. I mean, a homeschool mom is the most qualified person on the planet to be on a school board, because a homeschool mom has been the teacher, the janitor, the administrator, the superintendent, the curriculum picker-outer. Sorry, little country boy in me. The curriculum, what do you call that? The person that chooses the curriculum. The curriculum shopper? I don't know. Anyway, homeschool mom has done it all, man. Cafeteria, janitor, you name it, all of it. And so, anyway, if you're homeschooling, don't think you don't have a voice in this fight and in this very, very important discussion of what the kids are going to learn in the local public school. You absolutely have a voice, and you should run for school board. And those of you that private school, same thing. And so anyway, for those of you that are public schooling thinking, I shouldn't have a voice in what's going on in your local public school, I hope that puts that to bed. All right, so we all have a stake in this, because the education system is going to produce what the citizens are like in the next generation. So therefore, we should pay attention. And what makes a good citizen? What kind of education is going to cause a kid that goes through that education system from K through 12 to be the most prepared to be a good citizen? What is a good citizen? It's someone that treats their neighbors the way they want to be treated. Someone that serves, that doesn't just take, that's not just a leech on society. Someone that is willing to work hard and produce so that they become a good, productive member of society. Maybe they start a business and they provide jobs in that community. Maybe they are one of those jobs, so they're providing good work at a local business of some sort. What, you know, we all kind of know deep down, maybe you hadn't sat down and thought about what makes a good citizen and why the education system needs to be geared towards producing good citizens, but just think about it. What kind of people do you want in your neighborhood? What kind of people do you want in your community? That's essentially, when you answer that question, you've answered the question of what makes a good citizen. And then you have to back up a step and say, okay, then what are the ingredients that will produce that good citizen? And that's what education K through 12 is all about. It's raising people to be good members of society. Now, of course, as believers, we've got an even greater calling, because we're supposed to be raising them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So we're supposed to be not just making them where they're good workers or good employers or good entrepreneurs or good, you know, citizens, but also that they're serving the Lord first and foremost. And that actually will cause all those other things to be downstream in a good way. So our calling's even larger than that. But let's just back up to the basics of education. If you go look at it's not every state, and I haven't read them in a while. It's been 20 years since I really looked close. But when you go look at the state constitutions all across America, and you get to the education part of that constitution, the purpose of education in virtually every state, I think I could say every state, but without having all 50 state constitutions in front of me, I'll just say virtually every state, has specific language in their state constitutions about education and why we have it. And almost all of them have something similar to this language. It's to produce a good citizen, what most state constitutions call an informed citizen, that understands what makes a good society and will uphold the values of that society. So the whole purpose of education is to have a citizen that understands how freedom works, how a constitutional republic works, what good work ethic is, what it means to be a good Samaritan in your community. All of these things, that's why you have an education system. And so what we're doing right now in Texas is we're tweaking the formula. We're looking at the ingredients that will then go into that education system from K through 12 so that this next generation of students end up being good citizens. And so the particular standards that we're analyzing right now in Texas are social studies. So, you know, each year they'll do, you know, one year they'll do English and the next year they'll do math and this year they're doing social studies. So it's actually, in my opinion, the most important one because this is the one that really determines the philosophy in the classroom, as we said earlier, that becomes then the philosophy of government. And so fortunately we have a pretty good system in Texas where it's a long drawn out process, but it's well thought out. There's a lot of people that have input. There's opportunities for citizens to weigh in. There's opportunities for various groups to review what those standards are and go through. I mean, literally, like, what do you learn in kindergarten through third grade? What do you learn in fourth through and fifth grade? What are the most important pieces of history that are going to be taught? What's the most important literature that they're going to read? I mean, obviously, you can't do it all. There's more books and more moments in history and more historical figures than you can possibly fit into K through 12. And those 12 years that you have the kids in the classroom for, you know, 8 hours a day, that's a lot of time, but it's only so much. So you got to prioritize. You got to say what's most important. And maybe that's something for you to think about as a listener. What do you think is most important for a kid to learn about during those 12 years? Who are the most important heroes for them to study? I mean, if we were in, you know, I don't know, Venezuela or Zimbabwe, then the most important figures for them to study might obviously be different. But guess what? We're in America. In my case, I'm in Texas. So the most important figures for these kids to study and learn about, the most important examples for them to learn about as heroes, are obviously the people that had the most influence on the nation and the state in which we live. So in Texas, absolutely you ought to know who William Barrett Travis is. He led the troops at the Alamo. You ought to know who Sam Houston is. You ought to know what drove those guys. You ought to know who Stephen F. Austin was. And you know, so those are important, obviously. Juan Seguin. These are important figures in Texas history. In America, for any student, anywhere in America, think they ought to know who George Washington is? Maybe. Yeah, I'd say so. Thomas Jefferson, John Adams. But we've got these people right now, and I watched all the testimony at the State Board of Education a couple weeks ago, who actually think we shouldn't listen to any of those old white guys. That's the way they put it. They literally got up and said, "We're tired of all these old white guys being the ones that everybody's learning from." And all I can think about as I'm you know watching that testimony is, those old white guys did a pretty good job. Those old white guys produced for us the greatest nation in the history of mankind. Those old white guys came up with a system that was unique in the history of mankind that would produce the most powerful, the most free, the wealthiest, the most benevolent nation the world has ever known. So I kind of think those old white guys ought to be, you know, probably studied. And instead of being lambasted and all you teach about them is their sins and their mistakes because they were human just like us, maybe you ought to teach some of the good. I'm okay with teaching the bad and the ugly, but hey, how about we teach the good too? So that's what this fight in Texas right now is all about. What are we going to prioritize? Who are we going to teach in the classroom? And what kind of citizens do we want to produce out of our education system? And there are people that actually think third world cesspool values and people should be what's taught in our education system here in Texas and across the country. Lunacy. I mean, frankly, if I can say it without offending everyone, I don't mind offending most people. Idiocy. It's idiotic. It is absolute foolishness to teach bad heroes, because then you get bad citizens. All right, more on this when we come back, and we'll take your calls, of course, as well. 888-589-8840. It's an incredibly important inflection point. What are we going to teach in our classrooms when we have the opportunity to influence? Right back on After.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio with your host, Rick Green.
Welcome back to At the Core with Walker Wobbin and Rick Green. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. Thanks for staying with me. And by the way, just listening to that spot, every time I hear that spot from Tim Wildman about these trips, I just have to tell you, if you haven't done these, you've got to go on these trips to Boston, to all these historical sites. I had the privilege of taking my kids through a lot of these places when they were young. And then again, as they got a little older, we were doing our show, Chasing American Legends. Last year, we took all of our scholars from the campus, from our Patriot Institute that are with us for a year. We took them on their end-of-year program to Boston and Lexington and did the Shot Heard Around the World reenactment and all that good stuff. And this weekend, we're going to be heading out, taking them to D.C., to a lot of these places. There's just something about it. And man, if you get to go with Stephen McDowell, Tim Wildman, I think Tim Barton's going on some of those. Folks, that's gold. I mean, that is a once-in-a-lifetime experience. You get to learn from the people that really know it, and they're fun and funny. All I ask is this, okay? If you go on one of these trips, you must, like, it's not negotiable, you must harass Stephen McDowell and Tim Wildman for me. Like, you have to give them a hard time. Like, whatever you can do during that trip to heckle them or, you know, just to bug them and then say, that's from Rick Green. I would appreciate it, okay? So somebody, make a note, get signed up for the trip, go on the trip, and then harass McDowell and Wildman and Barton for Green. Okay, everybody got that? All right. Let's go back to this, and phones 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. Maybe let me know what's going on in your state. You know, we've been getting a lot of people elected to these state boards of education, to school boards. We're starting to see some improvement in this, but I wanted to come back to some of the specifics of what to look for, why these are so incredibly important to be engaged in. And as I was saying in the first segment, the Texas fight right now, there's two big things. There's the reading list. So what are the books and the things in history, the literature, all those things that we're going to have as a requirement to be used in the schools? So some people might say, yeah, Rick, now you're tying the teacher's hands. Well, yeah, kind of. I mean, it is important. Again, like I said at the beginning of the program today, if the state is funding this, if we're paying for this with tax dollars, then the state should set the standards and should set the goal. And I'm just telling you, if you don't do that right now, most of these teachers, no offense to the good ones, and we do have a lot of good ones that have come through Pensacola Christian and some of these other good universities that train teachers, but most teachers have gone through leftist indoctrination camps for their education. Most teachers in public schools have a liberal, left-leaning philosophy. And so that means they're going to pick textbooks and lessons that adhere to their way of thinking. And that's why most kids come out of these schools turned into socialists, because their teachers are. And so that's why you have to have this process of setting the standards, because what you're competing with is a machine controlled by the teacher unions that are radical left-wing crazies. And if you don't believe that, just go watch any of the videos from their conventions and the things that they chant and the things that they say. These are, I'm talking like not just like lean a little bit liberal because they want to be nice to everybody. These people are avowed Marxist. They want to completely undermine the American system. They want to topple the American value system and the Constitution, or as one of them said the other day, dismantle the American system. So that's what you're up against. And if that's what you've got as a teacher, then you have to have standards that say, no, you have to teach George Washington. You have to teach the biblical story of the Good Samaritan. These things have to be taught because this is what it what is needed to produce a good citizen. So in order to do that, you have to win the fight we're in the middle of right now in Texas, and that is what we call the Texas Essential Knowledge and Skills, the TEKS. And as you heard last week with Brandon Hall that I had on the program, we won round one, and it was neck and neck. I mean, this was a knockdown, drag out, literally going all day long, testimony from hundreds and hundreds of people, and then late night, you know, arm twisting and wrangling and deal making with all the board members, and we won for almost everything that we wanted. It was a really good victory by the end of the week, and that was because of the citizens that showed up. I mean, we brought about 100 with us. We brought tons of people from across the state that showed up and testified, or even if they did get signed up to testify in time, you know, they were there in person and wearing the shirts. We had these cool shirts made, had Patriot Academy on the front, but on the back it said "Be Jefferson," period, "Defend Freedom," period, "Defeat Sharia," period. and the reason we did that is because there was a big effort from the Islamists to try to get all this pro-Islam stuff into our standards, which then ends up in our classrooms. And of course, if you're a listener to this program, you know that Islam is not good for a society. It leads to complete tyranny. It is not good. It subverts the public order, as the Supreme Court has said, should not be done, and that a quote-unquote religion does not get First Amendment protections if it subverts the public order. And Islam absolutely does that. And so, but that the way that they conquer is through cultural jihad, which is what's happening right now in America and already being won in Europe and Australia. Here, it's actually, we're at not the beginning phases, because they've been doing this for decades and we've been asleep at the wheel, but we're in a critical phase where if they can get a feel good, Islam's no different than any other religion, and we just want to be good neighbors, all of which is a lie. That's Taqiyya. That's where they have, you know, in the Islamic world, you're allowed to lie if it's going to further, you know, the destruction of the infidel, and so that's what they're doing, and they get this stuff into the textbooks, and then you get a whole generation that just wants to sing kumbaya, and before you know it, you're getting your head cut off. So this is a very important fight. And we were able to defeat all of that and actually get some decent stuff in about the truth about Islam. What we need to be teaching in the schools about Islam is that Islam is a political ideology. It's not just a religion. In fact, it's not really a religion at all. It's a cult, and is founded by a pedophile, a guy that literally married a six-year-old girl and consummated the marriage at 9 years old. And so that's a, you know, and waged war against anyone who ended up not agreeing or believing with him. And, you know, so that's, you need to be teaching that in the schools, because not only does the, you know, kid that has no religion or the kid that's in a Christian home or a Hindu home or whatever need to know those things, but frankly, these kids that are in sort of what we would call a Sunday Christian or an Easter Christian, those kind of Islamic families where they're not adherents to Sharia, they're not doing the quote unquote radical stuff, but they just don't know because they haven't been taught those things. They need to learn that as well. They need to know the history of their quote unquote religion. So that needs to be taught as well. We got a little bit of that so far, and we'd like to see a lot more of that in the classroom. So here's where we are, and I'll probably share, I think next week I'm probably going to get another member of the school board on. Again, if you're not in Texas, this still affects you, because whatever we do in Texas, most states end up adopting our textbooks because it costs so much money and so much time, and there's no point in every state going through that, and so they end up adopting what we do. And so it's going to impact you in your state as well. That your state's most likely either following Texas or California, some Florida. Those are the three biggies. Okay, so back to the fight. So we had this initial hearing. We won, finally, barely, got a pretty good package adopted as the standards. But it's kind of like in the legislature. When I was a state rep, you had to pass a bill on the House floor twice. So it didn't just you didn't just have debate once. You passed it on second reading. First reading is actually just the speaker saying it's assigned to this committee over here, so you don't really have any debate or anything. You don't even know what the bill's about. Second reading is when you have all your big debate, and if it passes, the next day you have third reading, and you have a chance to debate it again. Usually it just is a, you know, rubber stamp of what you did the day before. It's kind of like that at the state board. So they had this initial fight. We won, but now they're going to do the same thing again in June, And this time it'll hopefully just be an up or down vote on what they did in April. And we'll see. We'll see. That's going to be, I'm telling you, the Islamists and everybody else are rallying their troops, and they're going to be at this hearing. They're going to be testifying. And so we're going to rally everybody in Texas again and get down there in June and hopefully win round two. If we do win round two, you're talking about a generational impact. This will be the textbooks for the next 10, 12, 15 years. And it will have a significant impact on not only these Texas school children, but school children across America. That then has an impact on the culture, entertainment, government, everything we said at the top of the hour. I need to take a breath. I mean, this is a big deal, folks. I'm excited because we're on the cusp of having the best standards that we've ever been able to have in my lifetime since we've been engaged in these fights. So everybody be praying. Be praying for wisdom. Be praying for these state board members that are our people that are pushing for these things. And be praying for the squishes. Be praying for the people that are bouncing back and forth on the board that might change their vote and go to the left. And they're, you know, they're kind of in the middle. So be praying that the right pressure gets put on, the right people whispering in their ears, that they will find courage, that they will find wisdom, that they will realize why these standards that we're pushing for are actually good for everyone. It actually produces the best citizens and makes it possible for us to live in freedom in our society. So be praying for that. Really, really important. 888-589-8840 is the phone number. Let's go to the phones. We got John up first in Oklahoma. Let's see. Let me try that again. My software restarted. John, hang in there, buddy. Okay. Hi. Coming at you. John, go ahead.
I'll try to be really brief. I've got my wife and I together have over
85
years.
Don't be brief. Well, be John.
My wife and I together have over 85 years in public education. And I want to tell you, strongly, strongly support what you're saying. I won't go into details, but I've got a lot longer and deeper history and knowledge of this than 99% of the people that you'll talk to. But I want to give a caveat, and you kind of mentioned it, but I just want to encourage people. For a lot of years, the left has been indoctrinating teachers and groups, and I can give you in-depth details sometime. But the response of conservatives has bordered on, okay, we'll just dismantle public education. You know, we'll just make it where they can't use that anymore. And what happens is there's a lot of kids you were talking earlier about, you know, if families will sacrifice enough, but some can't. Depending on the socioeconomic status of where you are, there's lots and lots of kids don't have somebody to get them out. And so what happens is if we don't continue our influence in that area, the idea is, yeah, I got my kids out and we're safe, but you're not. Because
and don't hang up because I want to. This is great. I want to continue this conversation. I agree with you 1,000%. I think it's the opposite of Christian stewardship to leave kids in a burning building, right? Like the people that think, well, I got my kids out. I don't care what happens in the public schools, or I just want that system to burn down or be destroyed or not exist. I think that is so wrong. I think what you're saying is 100%. Like, yes, I think homeschooling is the best option. Yes, I think public school is the second best option. But you're not going to change the fact that 70 to 80% of the kids are in the public schools, and how dare us leave them in a burning building and not do everything we can to make it as good as possible. Go ahead.
Well, because I agree. And I didn't think you were saying that. I'm actually supporting what you said about join the school, because here's why. If we don't take care of those kids that don't have those people around them, we'll inadvertently create a socialistic society, because they're not going to get a good education. They're not going to be able to take care of themselves, and they're going to vote for the people that tell them that they'll just take care of everything.
That's right.
And so it's absolutely critical. I just see it. I'm still involved in it on a daily basis, that good people, godly people, have got to, whether it's school boards or textbook committees, or it's a lot of work, it's a lot of fight, all the stuff you're talking about. But now more than ever, we got to step up and we got to get involved. And I just want to encourage everybody, what you're saying is spot on. I appreciate it very much. But people, please, you got to get super involved right now.
You know, John, I think about it no different than the mission field, right? I mean, we send people all over the world to help people in need and meet those needs or make their, you know, culture better or whatever. Why would we not look at our own neighborhood and those kids that are right down the street from us and in those schools? How could we possibly look at that and say, I don't care? And you know, we just need it to be destroyed. I couldn't disagree with those people more. I think what you're saying is spot on. And there's, like you said, there's all these different ways to participate, and there's all these different ways. Our church in Fredericksburg, where I live in Fredericksburg, Texas, you know, we do a ministry thing where they go, I think it's Wednesdays, I can't remember, and serve donuts and you know, to the kids in the mornings, and it gives them a chance to, you know, just love on them and be there for them. There's a million different ways that people can help, and you know, like you said, you got 85 years between you and your wife. That's a mission field as well, is for teachers that do love the Lord and have the right values to be in that classroom and just to be able to be someone that kid can lean on and get a good education, but also be there for them in tough times. And now we've got chaplains in schools. We've got that legalized where you can actually go in and be a chaplain in a school and minister to teachers and students, getting Bible curriculum. I mean, there's so many opportunities to have an influence. John, I appreciate you, man. Tell your wife thank you for serving on the front lines in that way. And man, appreciate you calling in today.
Well, and support the teachers too, because there are, and what happens is the really good ones, they get beat up because everybody throws a blanket over the monster called public education, and it's really hard on those guys. So along with the kids, just remember that those really good teachers that really do love the Lord, they need as much encouragement now as anybody ever has. So
keep them in mind too. It's literally the front lines. I mean, there's no doubt about it. You're 100% right. John, appreciate you, man. Thanks for calling in. Let me just make sure I summarize this right as we go to break. This is a mission field like anything else. It's the same as Hollywood, man. We need to be sending good missionaries into Hollywood that can make good movies, that can influence the people they work with. It's no different than going to work at the Dairy Queen down the street or a restaurant or a business. Everything's a mission field. We're supposed to honor God in everything that we do, and there is no area of the culture that we should not be influencing and taking good values in. But with education, it's doubly important because it's not just you're ministering to them then, it's what that makes your culture look like 20 years from now. Stay with us. You're listening to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green.
Abortion moves fast, and right now in our communities, women are being pressured to make irreversible decisions in moments of fear and panic. They're told to act quickly or risk losing support. Many feel they have no other option, but because of you, they do. At Preborn Network Clinics, a woman receives what the abortion industry will never offer: compassion without pressure, clarity about the life growing inside her, real support to welcome her baby, and the hope of the gospel. She's given a free ultrasound and space to breathe, and more than 80% of the time, when a mother sees her baby on a preborn ultrasound, she chooses life. This March, Preborn is believing to save 6,800 babies, but it will take 124 partners saying yes every day. Here's my ask. Pause your busy day for just a moment and become a yes right now. Just $28 provides one ultrasound. $140 helps five mothers. Every dollar helps save babies and share hope. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby, or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
This is At the Core on American Family Radio with your host, Rick Green.
Welcome back to At the Core with Walker Wildman and Rick Green. I'm Rick Green, America's Constitution Coach. Thanks for staying with me. We've been talking education so far and, you know, the importance of it for the next generation. And it is a stewardship thing because, you know, you only get so many hours. How did Kennedy say it? He said, only a few generations. Let's see, how did he say it? This is in his inaugural address. Only a few generations have the opportunity to defend freedom in its hour of maximum danger, something to that effect. And then, of course, he says, I do not shrink from the, I can't do a Massachusetts accent, but he says, I do not shrink from this responsibility. I welcome it. Well, this is one of those hours of maximum danger. America's at an inflection point. We're at a crossroads. We have, you know, roughly a 50-50 split in the country politically. You have a very hardcore left that has taken over virtually every institution in America, entertainment, education, half the pulpits in America, you name it. You have a patriotic, I would say, informed citizenry that understands what's at stake and about to be lost. That group is small, right? We don't have, you know, we don't even have 10% of the country that fit that definition. If you're a listener to this program, you're probably in that definition. But you only need about 3% to really push the nation one direction or the other. That's how the left did it. I mean, that's how we won the revolution, is a small, small percentage. So we're in that hour of maximum danger where what we teach in the classroom at this point, it's either going to be the tipping point that we actually do slide totally into socialism and eventually communism and eventually, you know, lose the entire nation, potentially have a civil war or at least a split in the nation. I mean, that is a potential direction for America. If you're just eyes wide open, you see that. It's no different than Judah and Israel. I mean, most nations split. Unfortunately, it's at about the 250th. It's normally 240 to 260 years when a nation and a culture falls apart. And that's part of why we're at this inflection point. But we actually have a unique opportunity to shift it back to the foundations that made her great in the first place. We can actually renew, have a sort of a rebirth of America in the 250th, if that small percentage that understand the values that made America great do their job. If we rebuild liberty on our watch, if we actually take this window of opportunity where we're getting to remake these textbooks and restore the principles that make a nation great, where we've got an opportunity to take back these institutions of entertainment and government and the pulpits and all these things. If we do our work in the next year and a half where the window's open, and the window's open because people are paying attention, the conversation is available to us during the 250th. All this talk about, you know, 250 years and the Declaration of Independence and what are we celebrating? It gives us an opportunity to revive those things that made us great in the first place. And so this textbook thing is one of those opportunities. And it just happens to be one of those things that lasts for a generation. So whatever we get done this year with regard to these textbooks will be the philosophy of the schoolroom for the next generation in Texas and most of the states across the country. And that's why I'm going to be talking about it more, not just today, but like I said, we'll probably have, we had Brendan Hall last week. We'll probably have Julie Picker next week. And she's one of the ones that has really led the charge to get the good stuff in and to fight this and to push the socialism stuff out. And so if we win that in Texas, that's a big one. But it's not just, you know, we talked about 70 to 80% of the kids going through public schools, and that's why it's so important to fight that battle. But it's also then the battle in our own homes. I would just say to you right now as you're listening, what do you know about what makes a good citizen? Have you ever sat down and thought about what do I need to be teaching my kids? How do I need to be raising them so that they are good citizens? Have you thought about what are the things you need to instill in them to give them good work ethic, to give them a good sense of patriotism, to give them a good sense of servant leadership? What are the things I need to be instilling in them? Not just leaving it up to, if you homeschool, you know, not just leaving it up to whoever the curriculum providers are that you choose when you go to the homeschool convention in your state or maybe you order online, whatever, but actually taking those things and then purposely designing their years of education to equip them and prepare them for life and to be a good neighbor and a good citizen. If you haven't thought much about that, think about it. If you're a grandparent and maybe that wasn't an issue for you with your kids when they were at home, you sent them off to the public schools or maybe you homeschooled or private schooled, but you know that season is over. Well, now you have a chance to influence the grandkids and have a good talk with your kids about what they're choosing for how to raise their children and just ask that question. What do you think's most important during your child, my grandchild, your child's K-12 education? What do you think's most important to prepare and equip them to be a good citizen for the rest of their life, to be a good neighbor, to be a good parent. And then write that down, make a list. You know, what are the types of things that we need? We want to make sure if we're sending them off to a public school or a private school, we want to go check. Are they teaching those things? If we're homeschooling, we're going to put it in to the K-12 plan. We're going to make sure that we're teaching them those things. I'll give you an opportunity to supplement what you're teaching now or what your school is teaching. So whether you're homeschool, private school, or public school, I strongly urge you to send your kid or grandkid to a Patriot Academy Leadership Congress somewhere in the country. Starting June, I think our first one, let me just look here. First one is June 8th. We will be in let's see, we got Indiana, Colorado, Florida. Let's see, Arizona. No, we're not doing Arizona this year. Delaware and Idaho. And then, of course, Texas. Most important is always Texas. Those are all opportunities for you to send your 16 to 25-year-old for 3 days to one of those state capitals that I just mentioned, to be able to, in 3 days, understand how a constitutional republic works, what their role is as a citizen. So they're reaching adulthood. They're starting to take on that responsibility. And then also get good leadership skills. Start thinking about what they want to do with their life. Start thinking about how to design their life plan and who are the people they need to be working with and all those things. And then just have great interaction with other young leaders from across the country. We call it the Leadership Congress because they're learning leadership skills and they're participating in a Congress, a legislative simulation. So whether you homeschool, private school, or public school, that is available to you. They take place all throughout the summer. Go to patriotacademy.com, click on Leadership Congress, find a date that you can send your 16 to 25-year-old to. I promise you, I've been doing this 25 years. Had thousands and thousands of young people come through. I have had one student, just one, in all those years that said, I wish I hadn't come. Now, that student turned out to be a very left-wing, you know, we didn't vet well with that student, I guess, because normally they got to do essays. We don't want kids that don't have at least some recognition of God, some foundation. You know, don't send us your kid that's a left-wing crazy. They're not going to enjoy it at all, okay? But if they don't know yet what they really believe, or if they don't know yet why they believe what they believe, then it's perfect for them. We will help them think through those things. So patriotacademy.com, Leadership Congress, that's the three-day program in state capitals all over the country. We do a one-week program the last week of July here at the Patriot Academy campus in Constitution City, Texas. That's what we call our National Leadership Congress. That one, there'll be, you know, a couple of hundred students here for the whole week. It's phenomenal. It's the best week of the year for us and for them. So think about that one. That's also patriotacademy.com. Okay, last thing, Patriot Institute. So whether, again, homeschool, private school, public school, think seriously about giving that young person in your life a significant advantage in launching their life by giving them 9 months on the Patriot Academy campus in Constitution City, Texas. This is our second year to do it, and I'm telling you, we're on to something. This is the best thing we've ever done at Patriot Academy. We last year had 12 scholars that spent the 9 months with us. This year we had 27 scholars. We're about to take them to D.C., to Independence Hall in Philadelphia, to Sight and Sound in Lancaster, to the Ark Encounter in Kentucky. We're about to do an incredible road trip with them for their end of year trip. But they have spent 9 months with us learning apologetics, biblical worldview, how does government work, what's my life plan, what's God calling me to do, how do I get the right skills and tools and people and everything else I need to execute that life plan. It's an incredible, incredible year. And you have someone in your life right now you're thinking of, 16 or 17 to 25 in this case for the full year. They can actually do their senior year with us. That's what we call a super senior year. If they've been homeschooling and they want to finish off their final year, they can do it here with us while they're getting everything else, knock out those final credits for their senior year. Or, hey, maybe they did public school up until now, and they want to, you know, finish their senior year with us instead of at the local public school. That's a great way to get a significant advantage, again, going into college or just life skills. So look at that. And maybe they're done with high school. Maybe they're, you know, just beginning college, or maybe they've already done college, or maybe they don't know if they want to do college. I'm not a big fan of everybody doing college. I think that's just for those that need the college degree, engineering, you know, medical, law, whatever it might be. But for most people, college is a waste of money at this point. But this, that 1 year, their super senior year, or maybe I've got students here that are 25, 26. So that's why we say, you know, 17 to 25. We made an exception for one young man to come at 26. Regardless of what their particular station in life is and what they're doing, have them look at Patriot Institute. They go to patriotacademy.com and learn more. I'm telling you, 30 years of being engaged in the culture, 25 years of doing leadership congresses with young people across the nation, this Patriot Institute thing, this is the sweet spot. This will be the most important thing that we've ever done at Patriot Academy, because I see it. I see it in these kids. Man, the iron sharpening that takes place, the nights around the fire, the chapels, the classroom time, the public speaking. In fact, tomorrow night, all 27 scholars will be presenting on the Israel issue. They will be taking on the topics of, you know, just from a geopolitical worldview perspective, how far should America go in helping our friends? They will take on the biblical questions of what does it mean to support Israel. It's going to be really good, really good. And they've been learning public speaking skills all year. They've been learning logic and reasoning and all that. So I think it's going to be incredible. I can't wait for tomorrow night. If any of that sounds interesting to you, you should immediately be thinking, wow, that would be good for Johnny or Susie or whoever in your life that you know from 17 to 25 years old should have that kind of experience. The September class is open now. We're taking applications now. So go to the website and learn more about the Patriot Institute and get those applications in. Yes, I will have some scholarships to give out. I don't have enough money to scholarship everyone. But if they need, you know, say a half scholarship, I can tell you right now, I've got several of those that I can award. If you're wondering how much, it's 15 grand for the year. That's way less than college. You know, people are paying like $60,000 a year for college right now. Insanity. Absolute insanity. Anyway, $15,000 is what it costs for the Patriot Institute. That covers all of their lodging, all of their tuition. Does not cover their meals. We want them to work a little bit, so they got to work on the side in order to pay for their groceries. And then they learn to do life with three or four other students in the cottages that they live in here on campus. They live on site. All the housing is on site. And that part's important, too. You know, three of my four children, my biological kids, we've adopted two as well, but three of our four biological kids, they went through a one-year institute. In fact, one of our two adopted girls is going through it right now in Hot Springs, Arkansas. Great program up there. Another good one. If you can't do the Patriot Institute, check out Leaders Academy in Hot Springs, Arkansas. But anyway, that year of just doing life with other young people, learning to budget for groceries, learning to, you know, take care of yourself with three meals a day and all that was important. So we do that as well. But $15,000 covers all of their lodging, all of their tuition, and then we have jobs on campus if they need it to work for groceries, or some of them work in town at Chick-fil-A and some other places. But I want to end the program with that today, because we're talking about all this education stuff. We're talking about planting seeds, and the theme of all of this has been, what makes a good citizen? How do you raise a good citizen? Well, I'm telling you, at Patriot Institute, we produce the best of the best. We produce the Navy SEALs of civics. This is the BUDS training right here in Constitution City, Texas. So if you've got a 17 to 25-year-old, or they're going to be 17 to 25 in September, you need to check out the Patriot Institute. And if they're younger, then check out Patriot Academy's Leadership Congress. And then for the little ones, we're creating more programming for the little ones. That's kind of our weakest area, but we've got some good books and things coming out. We started doing this Vacation Liberty School. So there's more coming. We are entirely focused on producing good citizens, inspiring patriotism among people of all ages, and then giving you the tools you need, equipping and you know, not just to study it in head knowledge, but to go out there and do it, actually live it out, actually live your freedom. Which is what this whole State Board of Education thing is about, getting people to go testify and be a part of the process. So all of it available to you today at patriotacademy.com. We'll talk a little bit more Thursday about how to get engaged, and then we'll get Julie Pickering with us next week. And then, of course, man, I didn't even touch on Iran today, so I gotta pick that one up on Thursday. A lot happening with the Straits, and the market seemed to be responding well, so that's a good sign. But have a great one. Walker will be back with you tomorrow on Wednesday, and I'll be back with you on Thursday. Thanks for listening to At the Core with Walker Wobbin and Rick Green.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.